The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to America.
Wake up, America. It's time to rise and protect our American way of life. You could be offended. In fact, you will be offended by the content of the show. You're listening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. It's nice to be back. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always, and I am right where I want to be.
Yes, it's Monday, and thanks for sitting in. I had a family obligation last week, and I heard your opening, you put the opening song, our original opener for Global Patriot Radio, and it was like, oh my God, I don't know if I got a little bit nostalgic last week listening to it, but I had to put it on for tonight. I love that opening. Go back to our roots and what we were all about and how we morphed into this nice Global Patriot Radio network. So thank you, Al.
Hello to still Steve. Good and timely.
Yes, it is. Not much has changed, Al.
Sad to say. But yes, you were right.
You had a hell of a vision, I'll tell you that much. It's amazing. If people only knew, you know, what was and understood, it would answer a lot of questions as to where we are at today. And speaking of today, first and foremost, happy Passover to you and to our Jewish family and friends. Passover begins before sundown today, April 22nd. And ends after nightfall on April 30, 2024. So happy Passover to all of our friends and relatives and friends in Israel as well. May God bless you all.
Hey, Passover, the Last Supper, same thing.
Yes.
Some have said.
Some have said. That's correct. I was listening to Dr. Michael Savage talking about Passover, and he was actually going to a synagogue tonight in his area. I can't recall where he's at. I think he's in California. And he was asked to speak about Passover. And he said he gave a precursor to what he was going to say. And he said, you know, I'm not going to give a history of Passover. What I'm going to talk about is why do the American Jewish people continue to support the Democrat Party? And he was going to go into, again, he called Chuck, Schumer? Schmuck Schumer? It wasn't Schmuck, that's my word. Anyways, he was talking about Schumer and how he's betrayed the Jewish community, how Biden has betrayed the Jewish community, how Barack Hussein, Sator, Obama, and his alumni machine have betrayed the Jewish community. And yet, when it comes to election time, the Jewish Americans, American Jews, get in that voting booth and they put a check mark by the D. And he's gonna talk about that tonight and in his sermon or his speech. And I got to give a lot of credit, you know.
Well, he asks a good question. How can the Jewish people and Christian Zionists as well, because there's a lot of them that are possibly Democrats, and how in the world can they support in the squad, the Ilhan Omars and the Rashida Tlaibs of the world and their sympathizers and their advocates who are okay with the murder of Jews, and then a counterattack is evil, and then they keep firing rockets. Iran hits them with 300 missiles. They dance in the streets. And then when Israel attacks the Palestinians, they have to follow all the rules, and God forbid there should be one mistake within the fog of war, and the collective mainstream media and Marxist Jews lose, they go epileptic and act insanely crazy against Israel. It's like what we're seeing on the campuses today, which we'll talk about a little bit later, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely, talk about it. You know, I'll end up repeating myself later on, but you know, I have to. You brought up the squad and the four frauds. Now it's morphed into five with Cori Bush, the anti-American Cori Bush. But they call me Tom on Twitter. Is a gentleman that I follow, a great patriot. It's just an honor to follow patriots on X, formerly known as Twitter. He reposted an audio video of Alexandria Cortez, known as AOC, and she was giving a bullshit speech today about praising the students on college campuses around the United States. It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others. You know, this is what's called anti-Americanism. This is an anti-constitutionalist, Alexandria Cortez, known as AOC, who took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, and she has done nothing of the sort. And she has aided and abetted the stemming of free speech on college campuses such as Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, Harvard, and many others around the country. And now she's applauding the fact, students, it's mostly peaceful protest. That's absolute horseshit. But that's okay. We'll talk about it a little bit. We got some other news to go into, including today. Today is Earth Day, the official Climate Con Day. Okay, Mother Earth is the left wing's god or goddess, whatever they identify with. Earth Day is their religion. And as the progressive movement has sought to demonize and destroy religion in America, the same left wing now embraces Mother Earth as their god or goddess, depending on how you define. The dupe continues each year on April 22nd. It's funny, Al, they should have adopted April 1st as the official Earth Day or Earth Day because it is April Fool's Day. This clip you and I talked about is timeless. Here is comedian George Carlin, who summed up the climate change con game. It's just a minute, but listen to George. May you rest in peace.
The planet is doing great. It's been here 4.5 billion years. Do you ever think about the arithmetic? Planet has been here 4.5 billion years. We've been here, what, 100,000, maybe 200,000? And we've only been engaged in heavy industry for a little over 200 years. 200 years versus 4.5 billion. And we have the conceit to think that somehow we're a threat? That somehow we're going to put in jeopardy this beautiful little blue-green ball that's just a-floating around the sun? The planet has been through a lot worse than us. Been through all kinds of things worse than us. Been through earthquakes, volcanoes, plate tectonics, continental drift, solar flares, sunspots, magnetic storms, the magnetic reversal of the poles, hundreds of thousands of years of bombardment by comets and asteroids and meteors, worldwide floods, tidal waves, worldwide fires, erosion, cosmic rays, recurring ice ages, and we think some plastic bags and some aluminum cans are going to make a difference?
That guy, he sums it up. You know, it's the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. Man cannot change solar flares and sunspots. There is nothing that man can do to change solar flares and sunspots, which are the catalyst for determining climate change, okay, or a change in the climate. I don't want to use the term climate change when you're talking, you know, science facts, okay? But it's the left wing, the movement that has co-opted the term climate change when their global warming didn't work and when global cooling didn't happen in 1978 to 1985 like they predicted. They had to come up with something, and they came up with global cooling, and then global warming, and now climate change, because climate change now encompasses all seasons, and they're able to fund this ruse. So the movement to extract, okay, all right, sorry, I didn't mean to be politically correct. The movement to steal taxpayer money by transferring taxpayer funds to the thieves is working brilliantly under the guise of the climate con game. Day being the designated Earth Day is a perfect propaganda tool to program, especially the youths in America, okay, over this propaganda of Earth Day. When did progressive propaganda ploy begin? In 1970. That was the adoption of Earth Day. The world order knew what they were doing, and it's been working brilliantly. And you get chimpanzees now like Joe Biden to go ahead and further this ruse. And you got the climate con man, John Kerry, who has made millions, tens of millions off of the climate hoax. So here we go, folks. So, you know, pick up your trash. And to all the left-wing slobs out there, make sure you pick up your trash while you're celebrating Earth Day, you bunch of pigs. And yes, climate change is right, Boyd. It's spring, summer, fall, and winter. March 21st was the climate change to spring, okay? And in most states, spring has sprung. And guess what? Come June 21st, it'll be summer, and the climate will change to summer. So, okay, enough of that climate hoax. I did not practice. Did you practice your Earth Day today? Did you pray to somebody today, Al?
Every day is Earth Day. Every day I'm on planet Earth, so it is Earth Day. I've got nowhere else, no other planet to go to, so I'm here to stay. And I can tell you this, the majority of people all want clean air and clean water.
Yes.
And these liberal Marxists are using this environmental jihad in order to have a distribution of wealth from the haves to the have-nots, and that's what it's all about. They could give a rat's ass about the environment, and I know that for a fact because I've seen them in action. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. So
Yeah. Maybe
you'll find the best conservationists are conservatives because it's in our best interest to be conservationists.
That's correct. It, you know, the abuse of power by the progressive movement, by the Marxists, to redistribute wealth, that's been their mission. And they found a new hoax, and that's the climate movement. And unfortunately, you know, they have the biggest voice by the schools and a captive audience. And as long as they reprogram the youths in America, their ruse, their hoax will be successful. You know, it doesn't matter that the ice caps are growing in, you know, up in the polar regions. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you can't talk about facts. I mean, geez.
Well, after all, it was climate cooling. Then it went into climate warming, and that didn't stick because it wasn't accurate. And now it's climate change because the climate is always changing. It goes from hot to cold. That's why we have seasons. So it failed on two accounts going back from the 60s and 70s. And each time it fails, they just change the name, and climate change has stuck because our climate is forever changing because we have seasons and the Earth rotates around the sun. So there you go. And our climate is based on sun activity, period. George Carlin said, it's not people, it's the sun.
Correct.
And the Beatles even knew it because they made the song, Here Comes the Sun. So even the Beatles were in tune with our way of thinking.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Very good observation. I mean,
I know things.
You know, that's almost as good as Bigfoot, but, you know, Big would have gotten you anyway, so.
Well, he knows more, but
that he does.
I know a little.
He is a music genius. And by the way, also a genius is Bigfoot's Place by Blogspot.com. If you want a great Blogspot to read, I encourage you all to check out www.bigfoot's place, that's FOOTS place, .blogspot.com. And just every day, just if you need to just glance at it, read it, there are some great links to stories. I mean, puts a lot of time into this, and it's really good. Monday Mania for Earth Day, that's today's theme. And so he's got some stories in there, and it's Gatestone Institute, the Daily Signal, the Stream, the Daily Caller, even has the Babylon Bee. And if you check out other days, News by the Jerusalem Post, the Palestinian Media Watch was yesterday, going down in Saturday, Canada Free Press, Defending Freedom, Telsur. There's a lot of work going into it. If you want to read, you know, a bunch of worldwide media sources, in addition to what you currently read, I'd encourage you to go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. First, the ladies. You know, we like to talk about the PGA or golf, and this one I'm jumping right to the ladies first, the LPGA. Why? Because there has been some great golf that's been played by the ladies, specifically the world number one Nellie Korda. And Korda won for the third week in a row. No, wait, the fourth week in a row. No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Oh, that was an old note. So I wasn't here last week. This week for the LPGA this past week was the first major of the year for the ladies. It was the Chevron Championship, and it was played in Austin, Texas, I believe. And Nellie Korda, world's number one, was in the field, and she was going for her fifth win in a row, her second major of her career. I got to tell you, this lady was going to, if she won this past weekend, she would have joined two other ladies in LPGA history. One is the great Nancy Lopez, who in 1978 had won five tournaments in a row. And in the 2004-2005 season, the great Annika Sorenstam did it. Well, you could add the name of Nellie Korda to that short list of women on the LPGA Tour to win five LPGA tournaments in a row. Nellie Korda played fantastic all weekend. She jumped out into the lead after the third round on Saturday. Now, the back nine in the final round was a bit of a struggle for Nellie, as she admittedly started to feel the nerves. And she said it in the post-round interview. She said she was getting nervous. And it's like, wow, you know, Nellie Korda is actually human. but she held it together nicely, and she ended the tournament with a birdie on the par 5 18th hole to win by two shots to win the Chevron Championship, her second major of her career, and her fifth win in a row. We are definitely watching greatness, and the LPGA is deep with talent, and Nellie Korda is absolutely amazing. You know, she wasn't in the lead after Thursday. She wasn't in the lead after Friday, and bango. So congratulations to Nellie Korda. By the way, the field is not happy about this, but she's scheduled to play in the LPGA's tournament this week that's upcoming. She'll be going for a sixth in a row, setting a new record, obviously, at the JM Eagle LA Championship by Plas Pro at Wilshire Country Club in Los Angeles. And Wilshire Country Club is an old course, smaller greens. So once again, will the cream rise to the top? So Al, did you watch any of the ladies?
I did. And Nellie Korda is a talent. She is fun to watch. So if you like ladies golf, watch next week, April 25th. And actually coming up in a couple of days, it's going to start. So that's some good golf. These are very talented women. So kudos to Nellie Korda. Five tournaments. That is just such awesomeness.
And like Nellie Korda, who is displaying a hot putter, so is another individual on the PGA Tour. The PGA had their traditional RBC Heritage Classic in South Carolina. It's traditional. The week following the Masters, the winner will receive a plaid jacket instead of versus a green jacket at the Masters. But it was a great field since it was a designated event. World number one and Masters winner Scottie Scheffler was in the field. He was going for a second consecutive victory and third victory in the last four tournaments. But who knows? If Mrs. Scheffler goes into labor, Scottie already stated that he was gone no matter what round or and no matter if he was leading the tournament. Colin Morikawa continued his great play at the Heritage. Rookie Ludvig Hebert continued his great playing. Both Hebert and Morikawa took their great Masters play into the Heritage. J.D. Poston shot out into the lead in the first round after shooting an 8-under-63, and that would be for all 18 holes, Boyd, but wasn't a factor after the first round. He just couldn't mount a comeback. I think he shot an even par 72 in the second round. One of the guys hanging around the top or within three shots of the lead held by Morikawa going into Saturday's round was world number one Scottie Scheffler. Oh, no. Could he win two in a row? Could he win three out of the last four? By Sunday's final round, Scottie Scheffler jumped out to a three, then a four-shot lead over Sepp Straka, who was playing really well. And then play got suspended yesterday afternoon due to weather, and there was some really bad weather. As a matter of fact, it was suspended for about 3 hours, and when they came back, the weather, the temperature had dropped dramatically. The winds picked up on the island course, and it wreaked havoc for those who returned. And boy, it turned. Bang, upon returning, Morikawa teed off on the difficult 14th hole. Boom, tee shot in the water. He's done. Hebert teeing off on par 3, 14th also. He ends up coming up short, bang, in the water. He hit a 5-iron, too, and usually he hits, I mean, it was I think it was 189, and he couldn't get a 5. That's how bad the wind was. Bang, they were both out of it, pending a collapse by Scottie Scheffler, who now opened a 5-shot lead, but he still had to play the 14th. And he got through the 14th with a par, hit a beautiful tee shot, played the wind perfectly. But then play got suspended due to darkness, and they resumed this morning at 8 a.m. And guess what? Scottie Scheffler had a 4-shot lead, and he had to play 16, 17, and 18. 16 is a difficult hole. 17 is a par 3, which is okay. 18 was playing tough as well, but the winds picked up. The temperature still would drop. All of a sudden, Sahith Theegala charged up the leaderboard. He's now in solo second at 16 under par. Wyndham Clark, he shoots an impressive 65, and all before all this weather nonsense, he ends up at 15 under, and he's actually the leader in the clubhouse. Scottie Scheffler, going for his second victory in a row, slammed the door. Even with the bogey on the 18th hole, He wins his first RBC Heritage plaid jacket by three shots over Sahith Theegala, and the guy is playing absolutely great. Two fantastic superstars of golf rising to the top, Scottie Scheffler for the men and Nellie Korda for the women. Just absolutely impressive to watch. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I just love it.
Well, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo, who played in the Celebrity Classic on the PGA Tour Champions last week, he was with Nance doing a little commentary, and he said that he estimated he's played somewhere around 500 rounds with Scheffler, and said he's never failed to break 70.
Oh. Oh.
How's that for a statistic or an observation? That is incredible.
Folks, that's a tremendous feat. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. That is really, really good. Oh, my God. Oh, so, but, hey, women's basketball. One more sports story. And this is for Hank Jones of Poly Sports on Wednesdays right here on Global Patriot Radio. College women's basketball great and former Iowa Hawkeye point guard Caitlin Clark was chosen number one in the 2024 WNBA draft by the Indiana Fever. She raised temperatures there, certainly. She will play point guard and try to earn her spot as a starter on the team. Pro basketball is a bit different from college, and however, Caitlin Clark has shown that she is a leader, as she was for the Iowa Hawkeyes. She'll wear the same number with Indiana as she wore with the Hawkeyes, which is number 22. A lot's being made about her signing a contract with the Indiana Fever for $300,000. Oh, how could it be? No, the women aren't paid the same as men. You're right. Guess what? There's the lack of viewership, the lack of sponsorship. Guess what? That's what drives the revenue. And right now, the WNBA is partially subsidized by the NBA. And the crybabies of the woke NBA aren't going to give up a lot of their money to support the women, but they give up enough to keep the league afloat. But Nike stepped up to the plate, and the sponsorship money for Caitlin Clark is $25 million. Holy cannoli. Whoa. So Caitlin Clark, she signs a contract with Nike for $25 million. Oh, my.
Well, now that Tiger dropped them, they've got a lot more money to spend.
That's right. So. That's right. They parted ways, and rightly so. They should have parted ways with Tiger. He's not playing much anymore, and Tiger has his own brand that he can start thanks to Nike's, you know, financing, I'm sure. But that's good for him.
Of course. Now, an alternative sports story, because there's always an alternative. Megan Rapinoe and her lesbian partner Sue Bird are to create a TV show about lesbian soccer players. I kid you not. Retired soccer player Megan Rapinoe and her lesbian partner Sue Bird are working on a television series about lesbian athletes based on a novel called Cleat Cute. The Washington Examiner reported on Friday.
And so are we supposed to watch it or what? I mean,
I'm not going to watch it. I don't want to watch that.
That's got no interest.
I hate Sue Rapinoe. Yeah, she's a snapper lapper that I have no interest in. Huh?
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it wrong to call her a snapper lapper, or is that considered crude?
I don't know.
And insensitive.
I think it might be insensitive. You know, you need to get a timeout. Okay, you're done.
I feel better now.
That's just awful. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Coach Vito. I'm ready to get back in now. Get back in the game.
Put me in, Coach.
Can you believe that? A television series about lesbian athletes. I'm sorry, but what about other women athletes? Why aren't they doing something on women athletes instead of narrowing the one, you got women athletes and women's sports, which doesn't get the highest ratings on year after year after year. They're always second to the men. So this Rapinoe says, hey, I know what, I'm a lesbian, so I think the world wants to see a series about lesbian women's sports or lesbians in women's sports. So I don't think she's going to get the viewership. And I think it's she's narcissistic and arrogant and not good for women.
I wonder if she calls out the Saudi Arabian government for not covering it.
Ah, that's true. Because, one, Saudis aren't big fans of women's sports, and women lesbians even less.
Yeah.
They get thrown off the buildings.
This identity politics, this woke movement, you know, no one really cares what your sexuality is. And had she kept her mouth shut and just was part of the Team USA, and she performed well, you know, she would be embraced by 100% of the country. But instead, she's ostracized herself. No one cares that you're gay, okay? What people are caring about now about women's sports is that biological women get to compete at the highest level, and it's their craft is not stolen by men who cross-dress as females. And that's what she should be constipating on.
Yeah. Just to make it even more riveting, the story centers on two players on the same team, Grace and Phoebe, who fall in love as they prepare to compete for the World Cup. That's the elevator pitch for the lesbian soccer show.
Wow, man, that's just going to be, wow. Here you go. Okay.
Grace and Phoebe.
Mark your Netflix,
I couldn't
folks.
Make this up. I couldn't make this up even if I wanted to.
Yeah, I won't be watching. So that's a given.
No.
I could
but
care
I will laugh see. At it, and I encourage all to laugh at it.
It looks like Iran and Saudi Arabia could be the hey, maybe Qatar are sponsored since they're a big sponsor of soccer.
Yeah, and I've got no problem with alternate lifestyles, male or female. I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but we all have family members that live that lifestyle, and I just want them to be happy in however they choose to find their happiness. I just want what is happy and best for them, and that's how it should be. But like you said, this identity politics, there's no place for it.
I got a message from Holzer. It's going to be called Brokeback Goal. That was a good
touché.
One.
Touche.
Yeah, holy cow.
No pun intended.
Hey,
broke so, back goal.
Goal.
Yes. I like it.
Oh, all right. So listen, we have a new I'm going to give a new segment title. It's the Persecution of President Trump update. So, do you need more proof that the trial against President Trump is a sham? Do you remember a couple weeks ago President Trump was denied the ability to attend his son's graduation from high school? The corrupt left-wing judge would not allow President Trump to attend Barron Trump's graduation. Now, they purposely scheduled the trial to disrupt President Trump's ability to, one, campaign, and two, mess with his personal life. Now, you cannot take off for Barron's graduation or you'll be arrested. Well, folks, don't despair how corrupt this entire trial scam is. Judge Merchant, the left-wing judge, shut down the trial, or was supposed to shut down the trial early on Monday, so an alternative juror can see their dentist. Not a juror, an alternative juror could see a dentist. Now, are you telling me that President Trump's request to attend his son's graduation is not allowed? So, you see, we already know the fix is in. This is a bogus trial. It's a sham of a trial. excuse me. Unfortunately, the corrupt Biden-Obama alumni justice is following through with the taking out of President Trump. And so they have their corrupt DOJ, they have their corrupt judge who's presiding over this. And the corruption of the DOJ is not only inconvenience President Trump, but to break up Trump is an orchestrated event. A jury was quickly chosen to sit on the bogus charges against President Trump. And now it can be adjourned on day one, the trial, because an alternative juror has dental issues. The corruption by Biden, Harris, and the Obama alumni regime is so apparent, it's truly disgraceful. Now, the Gateway pundit, Jim Hoff, had corrupt Judge Merchan will shut down the trial early Monday so alternate juror can see a dentist. But same judge won't allow President Trump to attend his son's graduation. So there's a precedent, even though the trial is a hoax, there is a precedent for the president to attend his son's trial. First of all, President Trump is not a flight risk. But you see, that's not the goal of the anti-Trump movement in Washington, D.C. And remember, in 2016 in November, it was Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi who authored a six-page manifesto, How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda. Now, Trump's agenda was pro-American, and that's seen extreme by the Washington, D.C. establishment, by the deep state, by the Uniparty. And since 2016, and actually, if you want to go back, since 2015, when President Trump and Melania Trump came down the escalator at Trump Tower, the effort to derail his candidacy was started by one Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and his corrupt and anti-American Justice Department when they launched a spying investigation against President Trump, against citizen Trump at that time, against candidate Trump at that time. And it was to tamper with the 2016 presidential election in going after their political opponents, because that's what despots do. And you want to know why Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and Hillary Rotten Clinton continue to refer to America as a democracy? Because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And dictators go after their political enemies. We've seen the dictators go after their political enemies with Russia, communist Russia. What did KGB Vladimir Putin do against his political opponents? He had them killed. He had them arrested. What did President Xi do in communist China with political dissidents and political opponents? They have them arrested. And I'm sure that Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, along with the corrupt and anti-American and anti-constitutionalist George Soros, see an opportunity in order to go after President Trump. Now, there are two sets of standards. One standard is to get Trump at all costs. And the other is to basically distract the American people from what's actually happening. You know, Joe Biden is a corrupt anti-American politician. He's nothing more than a chimpanzee for the Democrat destructive movement, and that is the movement into democracy from a constitutional republic. He's the perfect brain-dead chimpanzee, okay, to program and to distract you and me. Done the distraction to a T. The distraction of Joe Biden's, let's say, criminality has been documented, and we can go back to October of 2020. When the release of the Hunter Biden laptop was spiked. It was spiked by the New York Post releasing of the Hunter Biden laptop was spiked by Twitter when it was run by Jack Dorsey at the time, and it was spiked by the New York Times and every other DNC-run or a media organization who wanted to talk about it being Russian disinformation. First of all, there is no Russian disinformation with President Trump. The Russian disinformation narrative was started by Hillary Rotten Clinton and her campaign. It was started by MI6 and with the blessings of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and the Biden regime. They used MI6, including Christopher Steele, to develop the Steele dossier, and it was funded by Hillary Rotten Clinton and her campaign. And once again, we are distracted by the corruption that's going on in Washington, D.C., the corruption that continues, the character assassination of President Trump, the changing of rule, the rule of law along the way. Suddenly, Stormy Daniels is back in the news, and Alvin Bragg, Alvin Soros Bragg, okay, now is going after President Trump. That case was closed. Matter of fact, President Trump won $500,000 from Daniels for lying about their supposed or alleged affair. And then Stormy Daniels wrote a letter in writing that stated she never did have an affair with President Trump. And President Trump had nothing to hide. Michael Cohen, his former attorney, said, let's pay her in cash. No, let's pay her by check so there's a paper trail. Why? Because he knew it was bogus. $135,000 to a billionaire is nothing. Let's move on. But no. When your mission is to not give Trump the benefit of the doubt, when your mission is to destroy Donald Trump at all costs, now you declare this a criminal event. It was a civil case. Suddenly it becomes a criminal event. He's charged with, 54 counts of having classified documents. But there's a law on the books since 1978 called the Presidential Records Act. And not one mention of presidential privilege on the part of President Trump for having classified documents and the ability to declassify them. And the bogus charges that are rendered against President Trump along the way, and yet we're distracted when the real acts of criminality are conducted by, I don't know, Joe Biden, having classified documents as a U.S. senator, having classified and top secret documents as a vice president, and does not have, under the rule of law in the United States, is not supposed to obtain these types of documents and have it in his possession. Not only did Joe Biden have these classified documents in his possession, but he had them in 7 different locations, not in a locked safe in Mar-a-Lago under Secret Service protection, but in 7 different locations, including the Penn Biden Center, which was financed by the communist Chinese who have an office there. $70 million is what they invested in Penn Biden Center, Biden Center. Joe Biden has an office, maintained an office in the Washington, D.C. Chinatown. And guess what? There were classified documents there. Chinatown. Can we disconnect the dots? And we're to be distracted by the constant barrage of the establishment of the deep state of the Washington, D.C. syndicate to attack, assail, and destroy Donald Trump. Why? Because his message is resonating with we the people. We the people are tired of the corruption that's going on in Washington, D.C. It has been exposed. We see it. Washington, D.C. no longer works for we the people. Back in 1776, there was this thing called the American Revolution, taxation without representation. A shot was fired in Concord, Massachusetts. Massachusetts is now a communist state. The Marxists love Massachusetts. And it's hard to believe that the American Revolution was started in Massachusetts as a result of taxation without representation. And we're being distracted with the cries of corruption on the part of President Trump, and it's not true. Yet, Joe Biden can get away with credible witnesses. I don't know. Business partners like Tony Bobulinski, who testified under oath, who actually hired his own security team because he feels for his life, and yet he's exposed. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Biden's brother, and grandkids, all earning, you wouldn't even call it earning, all rewards from communist China, from Ukraine energy. It is unbelievable what we're witnessing today with the miscarriage of justice against President Trump. And finally, one other point, Al. Finally, a judge pushed back today and ruled that Letitia Soros' James claim of not accepting the bonding company that President Trump has for the $175 million bond has to be accepted. Now, first of all, $175 million is absolutely egregious. It's insane, especially since there was no harm done to anybody. Banks were made whole. Nobody lost any money. As a matter of fact, Deutsche Bank said it under oath that they considered President Trump and his organization a whale because he pays his debts. He made good on all of his loans, and they want to loan him even more money. And yet a corrupt judge, this little weenie end moron, okay, decided under his own unilaterally that Mar-a-Lago was valued at $18 million. I mean, if that's not utter horseshit, I don't know what is. But yet, okay, $175 million. And then Enmeron, Judge Enmeron, puts out that Trump can't conduct business in the state of New York. Well, isn't that a coincidence? He can't conduct business in the state of New York, which means that he can't borrow, he can't even get a bond out of a New York company. And then suddenly, Letitia Soros James says, we're not accepting that bond because they're not licensed in New York. Fuck you, Letitia Soros James. You guys want it both ways. You want to prohibit President Trump from doing business in his home state of New York, where his Trump organization is domiciled? You're stealing his business? You're shutting down a business operation that has done things by the book as the U.S. as U.S. law had been passed, and then you tell him he can't borrow money because it's not a New York company, because you've prohibited him doing any business in New York? Kiss my grits. So kudos to the judge for saying that Letitia Soros James in the state of New York has to accept the bonding company that President Trump was able to procure a $175 million bond. You know, it's bad enough it's been a total miscarriage of justice against the former president of the United States and the tampering of a presidential election by an incumbent administration, by the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni administration, who are tampering with a U.S. election. But that's okay. That's okay. Because the narrative has been set. You know, that's why the media whores go on CNN and MSNBC, NBC, ABC, and they all say the same DNC talking points. And it's railing against President Trump while they look the other way when the real corruption is right in front of us. And that's the corruption of Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. Pelosi and her husband with insider trading. Eric Swalwell banging a Chinese spy who furthered his career, who helped launch his congressional career. And how about Adam Schiff, that fucking liar, who's lied every single step of the way. He's lied about President Trump. Nothing to back up his statements, and yet he's pranced out by the DNC left-wing news as being facts, and he can't back up his facts. And don't get me started about Jamie Raskin either. They're all worthless. The corruption in Washington, D.C., they are looking to benefit themselves. They are looking to enrich themselves as they've done so. The last point is, how does AOC go from a net worth of less than $10,000 in 2016 to a net worth of, it's reportedly, $27 million? Now, folks, I know there's new math out there. But take $175,000 and multiply it times 7 years, okay? 175 times 7, and you tell me what you come up with. If you come up with $27 million, I'll give you a free Global Patriot radio mug. It just doesn't happen. That means she had zero bills. How does this inept bartender go from a net worth of less than $10,000 to a net worth of $27 million in 7 years. Corruption. That's how. Corruption.
Well, the New York City trial today against Donald Trump, jurors in the historic trial heard briefly from the prosecution's first witness, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, who prosecutors say participated in what's called a catch-and-kill scheme to suppress unflattering stories about Trump and help him get elected. Well, what about the rest of the mainstream media who also engaged in catch-and-kill by lying about President Trump over and over repeatedly throughout the mainstream media? And in this first ever trial, a former U.S. President Trump is charged with falsifying business records to cover up a $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels in 2016 to keep quiet about a sexual encounter she says they had 10 years earlier. Trump had pleaded not guilty and denies the encounter took place. Prosecutors portrayed the payment as a criminal effort to deceive voters at a time when Trump was facing other accusations of crude sexual behavior, which all were lies and proven to be lies. And this is just one bigger part of the story. Alvin Bragg never should have brought this trial. It's a sham from the very beginning, and the only reason they brought it is to get President Trump, and they gag order him so that he can't campaign. And that's to keep the number one presidential candidate on the bench as President Biden stumbles his way around without any pushback from Donald Trump. It's disgusting on so many levels. It's voter fraud, but the voter fraud is by the authorities, whether it be prosecutors and judges and our legal system. And then going back to that $175 million, that's an unheard-of bond. And the fact that that she wouldn't take the $175 million bond for whatever reason, because it wasn't in the state of New York, is ridiculous. She just wanted to loot President Trump's holdings. She said as much. She coveted it, taking over his properties and stealing what is his in New York City. And luckily it took and for a prosecutor, an agent of the court, to have to be told by another agent of the court that she can't do that because it's illegal, she should be thrown off the, in normal times, she would be thrown off the case for incompetence and bad legal judgment, not to mention what she had done before. So this is just what Donald Trump is going through, Vito. If it happened to either one of us, even on a tenth of that scale, can you imagine a court coming up to you and telling you, oh, you're going to need a $17 million bond? You'd be like, what? I don't even have a net worth of $17 million. How can I get a bond in order to keep the government out of my business so I can have my, what should be, a fair and impartial trial. You'd be toast. You'd have to plead guilty or no contest.
How do you know I couldn't post a $17 million bond?
Well, most people can't. I say it generically.
Uncle Guido, how you doing? I need a $17 million bond. You say, forget about it. You're done. I'm sorry, I made light
of
it.
For the average person, a $17 million
right.
bond is out of reach.
It is.
Or it would take someone's entire net worth in order to cover that bond. That means all of their worldly possessions would have to be put in jeopardy because of an overbearing court. So when people say that Donald Trump is fighting for us, he doesn't have to go through this. He knows that this is all manufactured. Everything that's been since he came down the stairway at Trump Plaza, they've been going after him nonstop, and he has won every single bout, and there have been many. And this is just one more in a long stream of abuses.
So
he doesn't have to put up with it. Hell, the guy is rich. He could go play golf and live a very happy life and watch his family grow up and prosper, and he would be a happy man. But when people say that he's doing this for us, we the American people, for the United States, for our Constitution and Bill of Rights, it's just not patriotic rhetoric. It is true, because for people like us,
right?
Correct me if the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are sacred documents. The Constitution and Bill of Rights that all men are created equal, and out of many, one e pluribus unum, has a great deal of meaning, because it just didn't happen. It just didn't poof come out of nowhere. It is millennia of governments growing and failing and new ones growing and governments becoming part socialist, nationalist, Democrat, and it was amalgam of all of that into one brilliant moment by our founding fathers where it's a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's to be a bottom-up government, a representative government where our representatives work for us ideally, and that's how it should be. And I believe that is what President Trump is fighting for, because he sees this corruption and how they're trying to destroy him. And if he does get destroyed or decides he's had enough and quits, and I wouldn't blame him one bit, they're going to come after us. And it will eventually filter down to each and every one of us, either through extreme confiscatory taxes, out-of-control taxes, or regulations that make running a business next to impossible, or the government, even at the city and state level where most people have their most interaction with government, becomes so corrupt that it becomes a third-world country. And we're going in that direction. I think that's why I'm voting for Trump. Because I think that he understands how great our country is, and he is fighting to protect it. Because if you have any question about it, just look at President Biden and the opening of the borders, having millions upon millions. I think the last count was that 18 million illegal aliens have come in that we know about, which probably takes the number up to 34. And then some high school kid used the term illegal alien, and he was attacked, suspended from school. So even from the high school kid all the way up to the policymakers at the federal level, you can't have open borders and have a secure republic, a secure country. It's all related.
It is, and you know, I'll tell you, tomorrow I'm thinking I should be doing a show tomorrow, probably around the 5 o'clock time, maybe awesome. Maybe 6. Yeah, maybe 6. Because I did some investigating on this bonding thing to go back to the $178 million bond. And first of all, this whole thing we know is bogus, but right now we have to deal with reality. And the reality is that this is moving forward. President Trump finds this company out of California. And you know what? I don't say finds it. He may have already had a relationship with this company. And I was told that you have to understand, you know, Letitia Soros James made the claim that this company's financial statement has $138,441,000 in surplus, okay? Which I'm told that means that's what, in a case of a loss, that's what they basically what they have, okay, to pay claims. But that's not the real truth in this whole thing. The real truth is this. Because of the size of this bond, you cannot get a regular company, and I don't know what that means, but you can't get a regular company to underwrite this bond. But what they do is, because of the size of the bond, this bonding company, in all likelihood, went to Lloyd's of London. Now, I was told, Vito, Lloyd's of London has 350-plus syndicates. And the way it was explained was there are insurance companies, let's say, inside of Lloyd's of London, and they all have their own names. And what happens is this insurance company, KSIC, says, hey, I have this client, and his name is Donald J. Trump, the Trump Organization. And I need $178 million of insurance. KSIC does not assume $178 million of this risk. They go to Lloyd's of London, and they go to – there's some other companies in Bermuda companies, which I can't remember the name. I'll think of the name. There are several different – they call them Bermuda company insurance companies, and these companies take these types of risks. Now, let's just say Company A at Lloyd's of London says, Donald Trump, the Trump Organization – I will take $10 million of that $178 million, and that leaves $168 million. Another company steps up, Company B at Lloyd's of London, says, I will take $15 million risk. Now they've got $25 million at risk, but there's a price for that. So President Trump's going to pay a premium in order to secure this bond. And by the time it's done, there may be he said there's probably 12 Lloyd's of London companies who got together to take the $178 million risk of Donald Trump. Why? Because the Trump Organization carries heavy weight. They are an A-rated company. Because why? Because they pay their debts. Why? Because they're a good insurance risk. Now, folks, this is what really got me. When I was told it's a good insurance risk, and you couple that with Deutsche Bank saying, we consider the Trump Organization a whale, and we want to do even more business with them and loan them even more money, that was a telltale sign that the fix was in. That's a telltale sign that the charges against Donald Trump are manufactured. That's a telltale sign that there is a nefarious organization that is out to get President Trump, whether the organization is the Washington, D.C. Syndicate, whether it's the World Economic Forum, whether it's George Soros and his corrupt world body. But the fact that KSIC is not assuming this $178 million is yet another distraction by Letitia Soros James to portray this company as being very small. And you know, two factors, Judge and Moran, and Letitia Soros James made it a point to say that the Trump Organization could not do business with New York, in the state of New York, which means that they can't utilize any company, any insurance company or any bonding company at this point, okay, in order to secure a bond in the state of New York. So they had to go out to different sources. And in all likelihood, President Trump, the Trump Organization, has a relationship of some sort with KSIC. And KSIC doesn't assume, it doesn't matter if the bond is $10 million, if it's $1 million, or if it's $175 million. That bond is broken down by the reinsurance companies. And this is, these are the facts that are conveniently omitted by the anti-Trump movement. They thought, and I really like what you said, Al, about Letitia Soros James trying to steal President Trump's properties, confiscate them. That was her goal, thinking that she was going through President Trump, because like you said, anybody else along the way, common Joe, Joe Public, Joe Q Public, would have been broken by now. And we've seen that with those that have been associated with President Trump and how they had to plead guilty and how they cannot fight to the nth degree because the U.S. government has a mission, and that is to break Donald Trump and break anybody who supports President Trump and the so-called MAGA movement. You know, who would have ever thought that making America great would be a cardinal sin in the United States of America? Think about that. Making America great is a cardinal sin in America, especially if you're a destructive Democrat, if you're part of the Washington, D.C. syndicate.
Yeah. And the bond doesn't come without a cost either.
That's correct.
The range is from 1% to 2% of the bond amount, according to insurance broker NFP. That means Trump could be paying as much as $3.5 million on an annual basis for the bond guarantee from Knight Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if Trump wins his appeal of the ruling, he won't have to pay the state anything. He will get his money back, but not his fees, I don't think. But he should sue the state back for those fees, but I don't know if he can. So as promised, President Trump posted the bond, and he looks forward to vindicating his rights on appeal and overturning the unjust verdict, someone said, Alina Haba, Trump's lawyer. So they're putting the screws to him every which way they can, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
This is not America I love. And George Carlin got it right on the environmental thing. Was that 30, 40 years old, maybe more?
Yes.
True then as it is now. But this is way out there in Venezuela, Banana Republic. This is just like organized crime moves here that are happening.
That it is. That it is. You know, I change the subject really quick here, because, you know, the one thing that you had last week when you played the our old opening, it was an inspiration. And the inspiration was there was a story at a Jihad Watch, and it's something that we here still continue to document at Global Patriot Radio, and certainly Minister Osama Dakduk. You know, his show is entirely concerning Islam. And while we dedicate a portion of our show to it, it's still been the basis of the founding of this great radio station. And thank you, Al. Christianity is in deadly crisis in more than half of Africa's 54 countries because of Islamic Jihad. Now, you'll find this story in Jihad Watch, and Robert Spencer has been one dedicated individual in reporting about Islam. And we have seen ramifications of Islam inside of the U.S. government. And particularly now, it's been resurrected once again as the Muslim Brotherhood, thanks to Hamas Care, is active inside of the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni executive branch of government. But what continues to be pushed aside over the last 10 years has been the extermination of Christians in Africa. Out of the 54 countries, it's the same. It seems like it's the same 28 countries who have done nothing. And I know, you know, that's nothing is a strong word, but seemingly doing nothing to protect Christians, especially in Nigeria. In Nigeria, Boko Haram is very active, the Fulani tribe, and there, it's a constant struggle for Christians to survive. And we saw it in from 2012 to 2016 when Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama was occupying the White House, when Boko Haram walked into villages and kidnapped over 100 young children and females. And you'll remember, you know, Michelle Obama had held up a sign, you know, save our children or return our girls or some, you know, some symbolic bullshit that they did this to promote, you know, the illusion that they care. But in the meantime, Boko Haram are fundamental, devout fundamental Muslims. They live by the Quran. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. That is the definition of jihad. Go to Umdat Salik, which is the Reliance of the Traveler, page 599. Jihad is defined very clear. This is not a definition from Global Patriot Radio. It is from Islam's own Sharia. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It is etymologically derived from the word mujahada. And Islamic clerics, Islamic scholars, Islamic theologians have justified jihad to war against non-Muslims and codified it by three Quranic verses. The first one is Quran chapter 2, verse 216. Fighting is prescribed for you. Now, the one distraction that the Muslim Brotherhood has done to the West is to give the idea that Islam is peace and to play the victim card quickly, which they've done, especially given the Hamas foreign terrorist organization and Iran's attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023. Immediately within 1 month, the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni regime and the operatives inside, the Islamic operatives inside the Obama alumni regime, released this victim statement that says, we're going to conduct, you know, meetings on Islamophobia. Well, excuse me, okay? Islamophobia is a fictitious issue. The issue is Christians are being persecuted. The Jews were just terrorized in Israel. 1,200 Jews were slaughtered in Israel, raped, beheaded. And and the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni regime are promoting Islamophobia, when in fact, Hamas should be eradicated from not only from Gaza, but from the West Bank and from the earth. Al-Shabaab, another Islamic terrorist organization, is active in Somalia. To the less well-known but equally violent groups in northern Mozambique, Democratic Republic of Congo, and other nations. And folks, the issue of the Democratic Republic of Congo, you know, this particular location, this particular country in Africa, this is something that fell completely under the radar in 2015, except for Global Patriot Radio pointing this out. In 2015, I believe, there was a coup, an insurrection by the Islamic jihadists to overthrow the government in the Democrat Republic. And they were successful in doing so. Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. Now, mind you, that made up, the Islam made up 15% of that country. Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, if I remember correctly, left the funeral of Fidel Castro in Cuba and flew to that region to give his support for democracy taking over. Yes, democracy taking over in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and promised millions of dollars to be given to the new government that were nothing more than Islamic insurrectionists. They were minorities who overthrew the government. And the persecution of Christians is just not limited to Nigeria with Boko Haram or Al-Shabaab in Somalia, okay, as well as Burkina Faso, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Northern Sudan. Currently, there are 28 countries on the African continent listed on the Open Doors U.S. 2024 World Watch List, nations where Christians routinely face oppression, harassment, violence because of their faith in Christ. How about extermination? Okay, if you call the if death is a final violent act, then that's what's occurring. And this is the dishonesty from this administration. Uganda, and okay, the dishonesty from the United Nations. Uganda, Muslims put pesticide in mother's food, killing her because she left Islam and became a Christian. The intolerance of Islam. Oh, but Islam means peace. Uganda, Muslims beat Christian on Good Friday after saying he was not allowed to preach during Ramadan. Bango. Freedom of religion. Well, son of a gun, guess what? UN Resolution 1618 that's passed by the United Nations and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which adopted UN Resolution 1618, guess what? Their own member countries like Nigeria, like Uganda, like Saudi Arabia, they don't practice what they preach, but yet they expect the West to change their laws and their rules. Nigeria, Muslims slaughter 29 Christians in a three-day massacre. This is not unique to Nigeria. Last year, in a four-month or five-month period, 2,000 Christians were slaughtered. Countless were abducted. And yet, the United Nations has the audacity to scold Israel for protecting their sovereignty. Their sovereignty, which was breached by Hamas, the Gazans, the Palestinians, and with the support of Iran, and with the support of the UNRWA, which is the United Nations Relief, Workers Relief. And so the useless nations, I'm sorry, the United Nations continues to condemn Israel, and yet they've been silent about Nigeria. They've been silent about Burkina Faso. They've been silent about Northern Sudan. You want more? Here's another one, which happens on a frequent basis. Kenya. Oh, that's Barack Hussein Satoru's home country. Muslims murder Christian, barricade road, shoot travelers, set vehicle on fire. I guess we won't be doing our vacationing in Kenya. That's done by Al-Shabaab. Oh, of course, then of course you got incestuous Ilhan Omar, who is from, she's from Somalia, which is Al-Shabaab conducts their business. Myanmar, Rohingya Jihad group take over 1,600 Hindus and 120 Buddhists hostage. World media indifferent. World media remains silent. This is just in the last week. We can go back to a year. We can go back 5 years. We can go back over the last 15 years. Cameroon, Muslims slaughter 27 fishermen, abduct 3 others. Why? Because they were Christians. Why? Because they were providing food for all. You see, these are the same countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation that expect the Western countries to adopt their bogus resolution 1618. They expect, and by the way, UN Resolution 1618 doesn't use the word Islam, doesn't mention Islam, doesn't use the word Muslim. It's supposed to guarantee all people rights, all people their religion, all people freedom from persecution. And yet, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation doesn't go in and try to eradicate Al-Shabaab in Cameroon that killed 27 fishermen. Or why isn't the UN and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in Nigeria, where thousands of Christians have been exterminated just in the last 3 years, and there's utter silence from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation? And now the Palestinians, and by the way, the Palestinians are Hamas, and Hamas are Palestinians in Gaza. Hamas, a foreign terrorist organization, just didn't come to power in 2023. They've been grooming for power since 1997, and they took over, which Al can confirm, in 2003. And since that time, they have cultivated an atmosphere and a society of hate. But it's based on the Quran. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. This is taught. Fighting is prescribed for you. Chapter 2, verse 216. Slay them wherever you find them. Quran, chapter 4, verse 89. That's codifying the definition of jihad. Slay them wherever you find them. Fight the idolaters utterly. Quran 9:36. Those are Quranic verses that don't make the mainstream news, but chapter 9 verse 5 does. Chapter 9 verse 5. Whenever the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them. Take them as captive and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. And it's exactly what Boko Haram has done in Nigeria. Boko Haram has done in surrounding countries as well, like Burkina Faso. Chapter 9, verse 5, abrogates 124 verses of the Quran. But you see, the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't want you to know that. The Muslim Brotherhood wants to distract you with their version of peace, with their version of Islam. Islam means peace. No, it doesn't. It means subjugation. Jihad, it's an inner struggle is what we're told. No, jihad is defined clearly by Sharia. It says jihad means to war against non-Muslims. But geez, we don't know what the motive was for, I don't know, Mateen to walk into the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and kill 49 people. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Guess what? Homosexuality is punishable by death. It says it right here in Reliance of the Traveler. Apostasy. Apostasy, page 595. If you leave Islam, you shall be killed. It says it. That's Sharia. That is of Islamic law. It's what Hamas practices. It is what Boko Haram practices. It is what Al-Qaeda practices. It is what devout fundamental Islam practices. And Saudi Arabia is one of those countries who are devout fundamental Muslims. On 9/11/2001, Saudi Arabia funded 19 Muslim men to attack the United States of America. They changed the United States of America forever. They undertook an attack that caused tens of billions of dollars of damage. And what it also provided was a means to take more of Americans' individual freedoms and liberties in the name of national security. I have no use for Saudi Arabia, but they are launching one of the greatest PR campaigns, propaganda campaigns, but they also fund the Muslim Brotherhood. They also provide funding for 85% of the mosques that are built in America. You see, there is a schizophrenic personality of Islam, and they have launched the perfect campaign to deceive the infidel, especially in America, under the name of multiculturalism and political correctness. So just know, and I encourage you to read this story that Robert Spencer has posted in Jihad Watch. Christianity is in deadly crisis in more than half of Africa's 54 countries because of Islamic Jihad. Islamic Jihad is a means of war on the part of Muslims in occupying the West. They see America as Dar al-Harb, the house of war. And their goal is to make it Dar al-Islam, the house of Islam. With all that's going on in the United States of America and the intentional distractions that we are witnessing today, and we've witnessed for the last 1,240 days since January 20, 2021, it is to confuse Americans. It is to keep Americans off balance. And now, because of that campaign being successful, this campaign can tamper with America's elections. And in the process, they have aided and abetted Islam's goal for America. We were started in 2008 as a result of the deceptions of Islam that Islam was making. George W. Bush probably did the biggest disservice to the American people on September 13, 2001, when he uttered the words that Islam means peace. And you have to applaud the Muslim Brotherhood for surrounding him immediately in the wake of America being attacked by Islam, with 3,000 lives taken, with billions of dollars of property damage done. And while the mission to take out Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden was the focus, the distraction became going after Osama bin Laden and not the grassroots that was starting to take fold in the United States of America. It was starting to root in the United States of America. And if you want to get an idea of how Islam roots, take a look at what's happened in the United Kingdom. And then the sanitizing of Islamic Jihad, the sanitizing of Nidal Hassan, Major Nidal Hassan at Fort Hood, who killed 14 fellow soldiers and wounded 30, who declared himself a soldier of Allah. You wondered what the motive was. That was a narrative. I wonder what the motive was. Or how about the husband and wife team in San Bernardino, California? The husband and wife team who had a child, a newborn, and Saeed Rizwan Farouk worked for the city of San Bernardino. And you know what the American employees did when learning that Saeed Rizwan and Farouk and his new wife, Tashfeen Malik, had a child? They held a baby shower, and they bought for Farouk and Malik. You know, a stroller, a baby carriage, you know, and they opened their hearts and their arms and their wallets and their pocketbooks like Americans do to show their compassion for this foreign couple having a baby. And you know how Saeed Rizwan Farouk and Tashfeen Malik rewarded his fellow employees? Both of them opened fire, and they killed 13 of their fellow employees, and they wounded 21. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Or to sit and listen 8 years later, gee, I wonder what the motive was for Omar Mateen walking into the Pulse nightclub, a gay nightclub down in Orlando, Florida. And he killed 49 innocent people. Well, one thing, Islamic jihadists, they abhor homosexuality. It's right there in their Umdat Salik, Reliance of the Traveler. It's right in the Sharia. And it's exactly what Islamic jihadist Omar Mateen did. Walked into a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and killed 49 people and wounded over 50. He was found to be casing theme parks down in Orlando, including Walt Disney World and Universal Studios. But because of the security those organizations have, he chose a soft target. And that's what Islamic jihadists do. And what was Hamas Care's response after these Islamic terrorist attacks? They would spend 30 seconds and say, oh, we pray for the victims. And then spend the next 3 to 4 minutes scolding Americans about Islamophobia. I'm sorry, but Islamophobia has no business in showing any type of empathy for an Islamic jihad attack. But you see, Hamas Care can get away with that because they play the Islamophobia card immediately. And that's what they're designed to do. That's what Hamas Care is designed to do. It doesn't matter that Hamas Care has been and their board members have been found to be pro-jihad. It doesn't matter that they support Hamas, a foreign terrorist organization. It doesn't matter that they have fundraisers around the United States supporting a foreign terrorist organization, Hamas. It doesn't matter. They bring in guest speakers. Mahdi Bray, I think you can confirm this. Imam Mahdi Bray, praised around the United States. George Galloway, a pro-Hamas supporter, praised around the United States to raise money for a foreign terrorist organization, Hamas. At some point, an organization like Hamas Care should have been shut down. Oh, but hey, Hamas Care has taken it a step further. The co-founders, Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad, are Palestinians. They're Gazans. They're West Bankers. The Islamic Jihad attacks against Israel. Omar Ahmad took it even further when he stated, Islam is not in America to be equal, but become dominant. Islam should be the only accepted religion on earth. Really? Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. Now, what part of that don't you understand? Gee, I wonder what Farouk and his wife Tashfeen Malik's motive was. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. And this, and thank you, boy, for bringing it up, the Southern Poverty Law Center receives a shitload of money, sorry for the language, from the Islamic movement and has paid for SPLC to have their radical anti-American position, where they go and they label groups as being hate groups. Because remember now, the left wing, in order to stem free speech in America, they have to come up with another way to subvert the First Amendment of the United States. And the First Amendment of the United States, for those that may not know, it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Well, how do the progressives, how do the Marxists, how do the socialists do an end around the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution to stem free speech? Label it hate speech. You see, because they will determine, excuse me, but in 1776, okay, that's what American Revolution was about, taxation without representation. It was about the control of a monarchy over the people in what was then the United States. And our founders adopted this Constitution in 1787, and they knew that government should not control the people. They knew that speech may be unacceptable to some, but should be allowed. Oh, but it's okay to burn the American flag. That's a sign of free speech. But the minute that you start quoting Umdat Salik, Reliance of the Traveler, and educating Americans as to what jihad actually means, that's considered hate speech. If you say that chapter 4, verse 84, is an inspiration to Muslims around the world, so engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. I would say that Iran followed that to a T on October 7, 2023, when they provoked the believers. How is it that 15,000 UNRWA employees ended up in Gaza? Oh, I'm sorry, it's 5,000. Oh, wait, no, it's 3,000. Oh, it's just 12 individuals. That's utter horseshit. It's Islamic jihad, and it's promoted by the Quran. But you can't say that, so SPLC will call that hate speech. You see, they don't want, they, the left wing, they, the anti-American movement, does not want your voice, our voices, to be heard. So how do you silence them? By calling it hate speech. How do you silence any type of criticism of Islam? You call them Islamophobia, and we're supposed to cower. But it's okay for Hamas Care to stalk Minister Osama Dakduk, stalk him as he goes around the United States giving his sermons, an expert in Christianity, an expert in Islam, speaks their language, and he's stalked and he's attacked personally by Hamas Care. They don't want him to speak. And organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center have done a tremendous service to Hamas Care. This service to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. They have abridged the Bill of Rights in the United States under the guise of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Because they, when they don't like your speech, immediately you're called hate. Gee, I wonder what the motive would have been for Nidal Hassan, Major Nidal Hassan at Fort Hood, Texas, when he killed 13 fellow soldiers and wounded 30. His business card states, Soldier of Allah. What in the world could that be? Or how about the 84 that were killed at Bastille Day and 400 injured when an Islamic jihadist drove a truck down a pathway, people celebrating Bastille Day in France. Gee, I wonder what his motive was as he was yelling Allah Akbar. Oh, yeah, Nidal Hassan was yelling Allah Akbar. That was confirmed. Farouk and Malik were yelling Allah Akbar. Guess what? The Islamic battle cry. So I encourage you to read Jihad Watch. Robert Spencer is absolutely amazing. He's been a stalwart in this in this issue, in fighting this, exposing this. And Christianity is in deadly crisis in more than half of Africa's 54 countries because of Islamic Jihad. Folks, every day, every week, it's 5, it's 20, it's 30, it's 25 Christians, 27 fishermen killed at the hands of Islamic jihadists. Countries are not combating this genocide that's being made against Christianity. And Africa is one of the largest, probably largest growing countries of Christianity in the world. And it's just very, very sad, especially since there's an organization by the name of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation that is represented by 57 Islamic nations, and they are dead silent. They can talk about Islamophobia. They talk about UN Resolution 1618, but when it comes to the genocide that's being committed by Boko Haram, by al-Shabaab, by al-Qaeda, they're silent, especially when it's their member nations like Nigeria, like Cameroon, like Uganda, who are undertaking this extraction, this eradication of Christians. So yeah, there's a war right now. And this war is very, very disturbing, what we're seeing.
And everybody can fight. When was the last, how many of you, when you go to church on Sunday, have talked to your pastors, your priests, about this? You can go to the Catholic Herald, the April 19th edition, and they post a story about 29, which Vito talked about earlier, the 29 Nigerian Christians that were slaughtered in a three-day pogrom just last week, the suspected Fulani Islamist militants. Take this story to your pastor or whoever your religious leader that you follow and encourage them in the name of Christ. Because when one part of the body hurts, the entire part of the body hurts, according to Jesus. So take this story, take this abuse of Christians and take it to your pastors and have them teach your congregation about it, to do something about it, because if the Christians don't stand up for themselves, who's going to stand up for them? Nobody.
Well stated, Al. That's very good advice. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the United States. We all know that. You know, we all see it and live it every single solitary day. You know, we see gas prices at the highest level at the pump ever that we've seen. Sustained levels, the highest ever. $16 to $18 to $20 a gallon more to fill up your car than it was in 2020. And the narrative, the propaganda coming out of the White House is to say this is a great economy. Well, those sustained high gas prices have resulted in higher transportation costs, which resulted in higher grocery prices, the highest grocery prices ever. And what does the dimwit, you know, Dopey Joe talk about? Corporate gouging, price gouging. Excuse me. You have reduced America's security and America's standing on the world stage. You have depleted America's resources, including the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, to the lowest level since in 40 years. And it's probably even lower than we think it is. And this is all designed to artificially mask the real issues that are going on, the real prices. And it's, you know, I'll tell you, Al, if President Trump does win in November, you can bet we are going to see a huge spike in gas on November the 6th. And I'll tell you why, because I do think that Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime are manipulating gas prices right now, and it's starting to break. Okay, gas is a barrel of oil now is up over $86 a barrel. So these lower gas prices, and I say lower at $3.64 a gallon, are low. But that's $1.60 a gallon more than when Dopey Joe was installed January 20th, 2021. $1.60 a gallon more. And this is a sustained level, which means that now households are being stressed even more. And it answers why consumer debt on credit cards has reached over $1.4 trillion. It wasn't over a trillion. It's over $1.4 trillion. Trillion. Never before. The highest ever. And then Dopey Joe is giving, you know, billions of dollars in college loan forgiveness unilaterally, which is anti-constitutional. Forget about everything else. I don't care what your party affiliation is. The executive branch of government does not have the authority to do that. But when you despise the Constitution and you're an anti-constitutionalist, it's very easy to do. And then we're sending another $98 billion out, what, $60 billion of that going to Ukraine? And we're funding, we're buying oil from Russia to fund the war against Ukraine. But we're pissing taxpayer money away. And it's perfectly fine. We're doing it in the name of, you know, security. What's security? And as you said earlier, we have a border that's open. And thanks to the anti-constitutionalist Chuck Schumer, the Senate president, he threw out the impeachment charges that the House passed against Alejandro Mayorkas, which in my opinion, it makes Chuck Schumer a confirmed anti-constitutionalist. Schumer, along with all 534 members of Congress, took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, including Mayorkas. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion, and they have not done that. And the fact that Chuck Schumer, the President of the Senate, would not even allow the hearing of Alejandro Mayorkas and how he intentionally has made sure the borders are open and America's borders have been breached and America's sovereignty is at jeopardy. It goes to show how much of an anti-constitutionalist Chuck Schumer is. Not to mention all other, however many other senators agree with the decision to not follow through with the U.S. Constitution. You see why the Washington, D.C. institution is so bent on stopping Trump? They have intentionally degraded this nation, and they intentionally have shunned the U.S. Constitution. And it's time to alter and abolish this government. And that's what they're afraid of. Their gravy train will be over. God. Mamma mia. That's all I can say. Mamma mia.
And that is the state of our union.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to do a little bit more of an update on President Trump. And I'm going back to the nucleus. And I just want people to be, you know, I can't help but using the word distraction. And I listen to these pundits on, it doesn't matter what station you listen to. And they all talk about this, and they all talk about, oh, my God, how does this happen? How is this? How does that happen? And in the meantime, they all seem to avoid the real issue. And the real issue is the corruption inside of the U.S. government is real. And the justice system, how disappointing. You know what? How destructive is it? And to see how the Biden-Harris and Obama alumni justice department has abused their power and their miscarriage of justice is astonishing. I never ever thought that I would ever see this in my lifetime, but it has awakened how corrupt government has been. And they utilize different subversions to stem certain things like speech. Call it hate speech. You got that Alexandria Cortez making a statement yesterday about the pro, or this morning about the protests all around college campuses. Being anti-Semitic is acceptable? You mean supporting a foreign terrorist organization, Hamas, is acceptable by a sitting member of Congress? Has she not read the foreign terrorist organization list? Is she that fucking stupid? Or is she that anti-American? Or is she both? I think that this one thing is for certain. She's an anti-constitutionalist and she's an anti-American. Whether that's incestuous Ilhan Omar, Rashida Mother-Effer Tlaib, Cori Bush, or Ayanna Pressley. They're all from the same mold. And don't forget, it was Nancy Pelosi who excused those actions. It was Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, who encouraged that type of subversion of American justice. How in the world can the extreme Hakeem have his minority members supporting a foreign terrorist organization? If that's not anti-American, I don't know what is.
But you know, the Supreme Court today is going to hear arguments on whether a U.S. city can fine or jail people for sleeping outside. The hearing comes amid a rise in housing costs and record levels of homelessness last year.
What?
More than 650,000 people in the U.S. were estimated to be homeless on any given night. In Grants Pass, Oregon, officials passed laws allowing the city to fine people $295 if found illegally camping on public property. Repeat violators could face added fines or jail time in 2023. I'm good with that. I'm tired of these tent cities. I'm tired of people camping out, homeless or otherwise, on city sidewalks, which is already against the law. You go to any major city or minor city in the United States and you'll find homeless camping out on the sidewalks, and it needs to be stopped. And what's happening is you're having a lot of these homeless people moving into wooded areas, and I'm sure there's homeless camps all around the city in which you live, and getting rid of these homeless people out of private property is an ordeal. The police just can't go on private property and evict these homeless encampments on private property. They got to find the owner, go through the owner, and then get a request from the homeowner or the private property owner to get these homeless people and these homeless encampments off their property. But on public property, it should be a no-brainer because it is illegal in violation of most every state statutes, because these urban outdoorsmen ruin a city. They make it unsafe. A lot of these homeless people have mental problems, they have drug problems, alcohol problems. And if the Marxists and the liberals were truly compassionate and want to help these people, they would get them off the street and into institutions that will care for them, because they're just a part of a problem acting as hypocrites. These Democrat Marxists, I'm sick of it.
Well, I'm kind of confused now, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
with an economy being so great and so strong, I mean, that's what Dopey Joe told us, and that's what the propaganda Princess Pierre, she spews that, you know, just about every press conference briefing. How is this happening? If people are homeless as a result of the economy, then what economy is it? Is it the Canadian economy? Are they coming down? Is it the Mexican economy? Or it can't be the U.S. economy that you're referring to.
Somebody must be lying to us, because I heard the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure that maybe we should just call the White House to find out what economy are they talking about, or get the news writer to do a little bit more investigative, because it sounds like it's just lazy reporting.
Yeah. Oh, and Section 702 was renewed. The Senate passed the law reauthorizing part of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, where the government can spy on you, me, and everybody else. With the FISA, minutes after Friday's midnight deadline, overcoming opposition from privacy advocates and former President Donald Trump. So thank you, Democrat Marxists, and thank you, Republican establishment, for allowing this to happen and primarily targeting our Speaker of the House, Speaker Johnson.
I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. I got to talk about that.
That's on your
tomorrow.
List?
I have to talk about that. That's great, Al. What a great segue for tomorrow's show. I mean, this goes back to the distraction that we're sold, and you know, and there'll be a little bit of a history regurgitation, which I think needs to be done to channel our thought process. So, and let's channel the thought process to Wednesday. We've got Hank Jones at Poly Sports. Check out Hank and his posse. Let's hope that Blog Talk Radio is working on Wednesday and they got the glitches. It was down, the entire Blog Talk was down last Wednesday. But Hank will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with some sports issues and politics. Saturday, Minister Sam Adakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Absolutely a great show. Tomorrow, I'll have a show. I'll post it up on X, Twitter, and I'm still trying to get it on Truth Social. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio to check out: Annie Southern Sense Talk Radio, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday afternoons with our great sidekick author Curtis Bennett. If you want a break from politics, an apolitical show is on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. It's called The Simone Nicole Show. Absolutely great show. Great self-help. Joshua is a really positive individual. Great tips. And I got to tell you, if you want an education in music, man, Bigfoot, our big patriot, that man knows his music. You'll see James out there in Texas, Ron. Excuse me. A Real Patriot is AudreyRusso.com, a Real Talk Radio. Check out Audrey's show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings with her sidekick, Mr. P. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Joe Gibson, Tuesday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. Next Monday, Al and I will be back, and we'll be talking some more of what's going on in the United States and around the world. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Snowman James gets a Mama Mia No Sharia. He's the first one in the chat room. Nice to see you, Snowman. Bring it on, boy. Boy was in the house, and so was Boyd, the Alaskan. Thank you, gents, for being here. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, and thanks for retweeting our shows out on Twitter. And I want to thank everybody out there in podcast land. Thank you so much for joining us today. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.
I didn't know that you were Spanish. You son of a gun, you.
Bilingual.
Bilingual.
Well,
it's
a gift.
Or a curse, as Monk would say. You all have a safe evening. Be safe. Be aware. Be everywhere of your surroundings. Thank you all for joining us. God bless you all. Ciao for now. Frankie, take us out, baby.
It was my way.
I love Frankie. tell you. Him and Dean Martin. Oh. Well, Al, we didn't get to a couple of stories, but, man, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Every week.
Mama
every
mia.
Week it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah,
this trial itself is, gosh, when you start unpacking some of the layers and looking into what our court system is doing to destroy one person, not only one person, but a former president of the United States, it's criminal.
It really is. There's nothing else. There's no other word that describes that. I mean, other than a miscarriage of justice, but the coordinated effort to destroy Trump is just—it's truly unbelievable what we're witnessing. And the only guilt that President Trump had was what? Was being pro-American.
Yeah. Now, who oversees these lawyers? Is it the Bar Association that is the? Use Al Gore's word, the controlling legal authority for people in the Lawyers Guild, whether they be judges or lawyers or whatever. Who oversees them? If you have an out-of-control judge or an out-of-control lawyer?
Yeah.
Is it the Bar Association?
Yeah, it would be your state Bar Association, I would think. You know, if charges
right, so if you have a rogue judge or a rogue prosecutor, rogue attorney, whoever it may be, whether you're a lawyer, then the state bar should go after these people and disbar them or I don't know, at least put their actions up and punish them if they're found to be guilty of, I don't know, violating the law.
Yeah, remove them from the bench. You know, if they're incapable. I mean, Al C. Hastings was the first federal judge. I think he was a federal judge in the state of Florida to be removed. He was impeached. He was removed from the bench. He then ran for Congress in Florida, and he won.
I know. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
So the Bar Association is corrupt.
Made up of lawyers.
So
yeah.
So the Bar Association is corrupt, and they're the overseers, I guess, or the enforcers for the legal guild. Then nobody's watching then the fox is watching the hen house. So maybe that's how these prosecutors that Soros put in are not doing their jobs and are able to keep their jobs, not enforcing the laws that their statutes, that is statute and legally binding and driven and how they're supposed to behave.
Okay, so I do think that the governors of the states have some authority over these states' attorneys.
Right.
By removing them from cases. So if Kathy Hochul in New York had any type of ethics, she would have removed Letitia Soros James from that case and Alvin Bragg, okay, for bringing the bogus charges. She could have removed, I believe she could remove, just like it was, who was the governor in Florida down, I think it was Rick Scott. He removed the Soros state's attorney because she refused to try a case. Yeah, prosecute the case and for the death penalty when Marquise Lloyd.
I remember that story.
Okay. So he got her removed from the case, and then she did not run for reelection. And then in the state of – I mean, in San Francisco – the people of San Francisco recalled Chase Bowden, who was the stepson of domestic terrorist Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. They recalled him just last year because of his radical Marxist belief system and letting criminals go. Oh, I think Sue
so
got
they can act to God. Yeah, it takes an act of God. It's an extreme action to hold one of these people accountable. That's a problem.
Yeah. And I think it got extreme, and they were able to remove Chase Bowden as a result of the recall vote. Hi, Sue. Thanks. I didn't see your hand up.
So I guess if you have a corrupt judge, lawyer, whatever, you have a corrupt bar association, and then you have a corrupt governor on top of it, of all the same ideological bent, then they own the state judicial system. That's some scary, scary stuff. That tears the fabric of our Constitution and the blind laws blind out the window.
Yeah, exactly.
Sue, am I on?
Hey, Sue.
Yes.
Hey, Sue.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to clarify one thing, especially for Al. The State Bar Association has nothing to do with judges. Now, if the judge is a lawyer, they could, you know, pull his license or something. Mm-hmm. But the removal of a judge depends on whether this is an elected judge or a judge that was appointed by, God, I'm trying to think who. I don't think the governor appoints judges, but one of their secretaries. Do you know who I'm talking about, Vito? But anyway, if it's an elected judge, then they have to get like a petition, you know, the people and everything, and try to get a recall election and to get the judge out of there. If it was an appointed judge, then, you know, you've got to go, and the governor would direct, I'm sorry, I cannot think who it is exactly, to remove that judge or take them off. And then the other people who could do that would be an appeals court.
Gotcha.
You know,
so it's a whole thing to get a judge. All right, so the Bar Association covers lawyers, basically. If you pass the bar, the bar can take your license away.
They can take, you know, like the judges, if the judge, so you don't have to be a lawyer to be a judge.
Correct.
I had a friend who had just a high school education who became a judge. And she was elected. Yeah. So it depends on the state and everything, but the main thing is the State Bar Association is strictly deals with the lawyers. They're the ones who issue the license for the lawyers. Because prosecutor is a lawyer, they would have can have effect over the prosecutor. I mean, if they remove their bar license, I'm not quite sure they can still remain in there as a prosecutor. But as far as the judge goes, it depends on how the judge got in there. And I'm not sure on this judge in this trial. I suspect he's a political appointee. This judge is, you know, and where they filed it, you would want a political appointee, you know, and so probably that's why they went where they went to file it and who filed it. Yeah, but I just wanted to clear that up, that the State Bar Association is only concerned with the lawyer and their license. Like the State Bar Association was who took away Bill Clinton's law license. They
Michelle
took
Obama.
Away Obama's law license. They took away Michelle's law license. And they took away Hillary's law license. But the only thing that did was mean that they could not practice law. It didn't stop them from doing anything else.
Boy, isn't that the
truth.
Okay,
well, thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Sue, have a nice evening.
You too.
All right. Good night.
I'll talk.
You too?
I'll talk to you. Yeah, I got to go. So I'll talk to you
as well.
All right,
you have a great week.
You too. Yeah, always a pleasure.
Bye for now.
Ciao for now.